Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by the Yavapai Regional Medical Center, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, and the Yavapai County Contractors Association. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. Congratulations to the Diamondbacks. A 15-3 win over San Diego's AA. The San Diego Padres. Boy, do we have a good show for you today. The first half of the show, we have a really fascinating guest. Her name is Suzanne Giesman. She's a career Navy officer, the author of many books. She served as an aide to the chairman of a Joint Chiefs of Staff on 9/11. And boy, has she made a career change. Wait until you hear about this. It's going to be a great story. With the Diamondbacks win and Suzanne right here waiting to go on, we've got a great show for you today. Don't go away. We'll get started in about 2 minutes with Suzanne Giesman on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live, you know where, in the words of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond on KQNA.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 4:08 with Suzanne Giesman, a career Navy officer, a multi-published author. What a life you have led. I want to tell people as soon as I can about your career change, but it won't really hit until we talk about your previous career. So tell me about where you spent 20 years.
I spent 20 years in the U.S. Navy. It's kind of funny. I had to retire from the Navy to go to sea on my sailboat because when I joined the Navy, women weren't allowed on ships. That was back in 82. Just a few repair ships. It was only halfway into my career they let women on ships. I was too senior by then, but it still was a wonderful career. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it.
At what age did you decide to go in the military?
I would have to say that was around 12 years old. Mm-hmm. Watching my older brother in the Air Force, I thought that was the greatest lifestyle. What a way to serve your country and
sure.
See the world.
Yeah. And what did your experience 20 years, and altogether 20 years, right?
Oh, yes.
In the Navy. How did that shape your life?
Oh, I still walk straight and tall, and it makes you care about other people. Take care of other people. The sense of camaraderie is tremendous. The sense of responsibility, of planning ahead, it becomes part of you.
Indeed. Now, you also, not only were you in the Navy and an officer, commanding officer, correct?
Yes.
For so many years. Everybody in America can remember where they were on 9/11. Yours is a little different. Where were you on 9/11?
I was in an aircraft with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the head of the whole United States military. He was my boss. I was his aide-de-camp, and we were headed for England. He was going to be knighted by Queen Elizabeth.
No kidding.
We were 3 hours out over the Atlantic. About 15 minutes before we turned around, we started hearing about what was going on back in the U.S. And in fact, I had a headset on my head talking to a colonel back at our office building, the Pentagon, that we had just left that morning. And he said, "Commander, something just happened here." So listening through the headphones when that plane hit, they thought it was a bomb at the time. Mm-hmm. And the chairman said, "Take us back to Washington." And I went up to the cockpit and said, "Turn us around." And they said, "Commander, this flight path is going to take us right over Manhattan." And it
Isn't
did. The five of us on that plane saw the two sites that were attacked with our own eyes that day.
Mm-hmm. With all of your military experience and with the people you were on board with, did the thought this might be the start of World War III ever cross your minds?
Oh, I just knew it was the start of something big. And I thought, what are we going to find when we get back there? I thought we'd end up going to the big military post in a mountain that's up in Maryland. I just didn't know what would await us. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tell us here, the books you have written.
Oh, I write about what I'm most passionate about at the time. I wrote a book about overcoming cravings. That was my first book. And then I wrote several sailing books because of 9/11. I retired from the Navy at exactly 20 years and decided to live our dreams. I thought life's too short not mm-hmm. to do that. So my husband and I sailed across the Atlantic Ocean in our sailboat, and I wrote about that and wrote a how-to book for women in sailing. And then my life took a big turn and my books have changed a lot since then.
Boy, have they ever. And that's the reason you're here. Tell us about this midlife career change. This is pretty dramatic.
It is. Exactly 11 years ago today, my stepdaughter Susan, my husband Ty's daughter, a sergeant in the United States Marine Corps, was crossing the flight line at work and was struck and killed by lightning. She was 6 months pregnant with our only grandchild. So that got me asking these big, deep life questions that we ultimately ask, like, why are some people in the wrong place at the wrong time, just like on 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. But I didn't get answers then. But when it's so much more personal, I decided I need to know if Susan's spirit still exists. I had no religious upbringing whatsoever. I had only heard of these people called mediums who could communicate with those who had passed. And when you lose somebody as close as your daughter, you want answers.
Sure.
So I dragged my husband to a medium. He didn't even know what a medium is.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman who didn't know our last name, couldn't have looked us up on the internet, gave me absolute evidence that Susan is still with us. I'm going to be sharing this story this weekend in several of my events here. So I don't want to give all the details away.
Sure.
But for me, with my very left brain, military, logical, analytical background, you had to prove it to me. And there was no doubt that this woman was talking to Susan. And it changed my life. Just turned me in a completely different direction. I needed to know more about mediumship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this something that a gift that you or another medium might have that other people just don't really understand until they're exposed to it?
Huh. Well, I think you just let the cat out of the bag that at the time I my husband didn't know what a medium was. I had been interested in them. And because of that experience with a medium and going on to write several books about mediumship, I discovered I can connect with those who have passed as well. And so now I am a medium. And it must be a gift, I think, because I had no idea my whole life. But it is a gift that we all have, but it can be brought out. It can be developed. And that's what I just have dedicated my life to these days, getting better and better and better, because I know the healing that it can bring people.
And speaking of healing, we want to say hello to a very, very special friend in the Phoenix area, Brenda Baker. We are thinking of you today. Our thoughts and prayers are with you. We know you are a very, very special person who has so many friends pulling for you. So
Brenda, we love you, Brenda.
We love you, Brenda. We are pulling for you big time. She is a tough lady who has overcome crises before. We think she'll do it again. We certainly hope so. So, Brenda, you're always in our thoughts and prayers. One more thing about the medium. You say evidential medium, correct?
Absolutely.
Describe
yes.
that for me.
Okay, an evidence-based or evidential medium, which is what I am, is somebody who is not satisfied unless when you're connecting with someone on the other side of the veil, they give you verifiable facts, evidence about who they are, who they were when they were in physical form, that you as the medium couldn't possibly know. So, for example, when I went to a medium to hear from my stepdaughter, if the woman had said, oh, your grandmother's here and she loved you very much. Well, by looking at my age, you know, she could have guessed I might have a grandmother on the other side. And I love you very much is lovely to hear. But that's not evidence.
Yeah, that's boilerplate stuff, isn't
right.
it? Anybody
so,
can say that.
So I want to hear from those spirits. What did you die from? What kind of work did you do? What do you like? How many people in your family? Details, facts.
This is the military officer side coming out of you, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's actually to my detriment. I'm such a perfectionist. I really want those details that you know, I think that the people I'm working with on the other side, they know what I'm like. And they know that if they don't give me really, really good evidence, I won't do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do.
Indeed. Tell us what events you have coming up for us.
Well, that's why I'm in town. We're so happy to be back here in Prescott. Tomorrow night at Unity Church of Prescott, we're showing a professionally made documentary about this unexpected transition of mine. It's very healing and very helpful for people that are skeptical of this, because it shows my background and it shows how I went step by step from disbelieving to believing. So a Q&A following that movie viewing tomorrow night, and then Sunday at Unity of Prescott, I'm giving the message at both Sunday services, and then from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, giving a really wonderful presentation called The Transformational or Transformative Power of Hope, mm-hmm. which is what this work is all about. Giving people hope that their loved ones are still with them after they pass.
In your experience and in your training in this, is there any kind of religious connection? Do you have to be from a certain religion to have a certain religious background?
Oh, not at all, DJ. You can look at this completely scientifically if mm-hmm. you'd like. It's mm-hmm. all frequency. I'm tuning into vibrations that are higher than the brain can normally perceive. And mm-hmm. that's why we don't see our loved ones even when they're standing right by your left shoulder. I somehow have developed this like set of antennae that allows me to tune into frequencies and hear names and see images. So in that respect, it's not at all religious or spiritual. Mm-hmm. But there is a huge spiritual aspect to it, because when you tune into those on the other side and they talk about forgiveness and they talk about the love that surrounds them and they talk about the lack of judgment of where they are now, they only judge themselves. There are a lot of spiritual aspects to this, but no dogma at all.
This is kind of a higher dimension, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
Indeed. And we're going to talk a lot more about the evidential medium experience of Suzanne Giesman coming up in just a moment on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world right to your smartphone at kqna.com. Don't go away.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
We are back live with Suzanne Giesman. Tell us once again where you're going to be appearing this weekend.
Yes, Unity at Prescott tomorrow night, Friday night, mm-hmm. at 7 p.m. And then Sunday morning, both church services and 1 to 3 o'clock, a special presentation. You got to bring your Kleenex for that one.
Fair, forewarned is forearmed, yeah. Indeed. With your military background, when you realized you had this gift and you pursued it, what kind of reaction were you getting from your former military peers?
Well, it's funny. I haven't kept in touch with so many of my colleagues, but mm-hmm. those who find out about it are actually thrilled, fascinated, and incredibly interested. I think the thing is, they know me. They know that I have high integrity, and mm-hmm. they know about my honesty, and they know I wouldn't make this up.
This is not something you would do lightly.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all. You know, sometimes people talk about how courageous I am, and I don't think it's courage to stand up and say I'm a medium. I think it's stepping into this gift that was that I've been made aware of, mm-hmm. and saying, how could I not use this to help people? Mm-hmm. I know the healing that came to our family to hear from Susan and to continue to hear from her personally.
Yeah.
And so to let other people know that death is not the end, I can't think of a better gift.
Indeed. In your military career, how many different states or countries did you go to?
Oh, I counted them up. 54 countries. No, yeah, 54 countries.
54 countries. Uh-huh. You were exposed to many, many, many things and different kinds of people than most of the populace. Does that help you in this? Being exposed to more life experiences from other people who may not be...
I think it does. I think it does, because those in spirit can only get through to me what's in my conscious or subconscious mind. But at the same time, yesterday I did a reading by phone with a woman in India. And I'm not familiar with the culture there at all, but there are certain mm-hmm. human things that are very common. You know, mm-hmm. how did you die? What kind of work did you do? That kind of thing. So, but I think it's very good to have an open mind and... be exposed to as many cultures as possible.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Is this something you think almost anyone can learn, or does it take a gift?
Anyone can learn it, because I've taught over 600 people how to open up that connection. I teach mm-hmm. a class called Serving Spirit, and it just depends on how much commitment you have to developing that. It requires sitting in meditation and working on yourself to clear out the gunk within you.
Now, tell me about the importance of awareness. What catches you this time versus last time?
Awareness is critical. I think I know that our loved ones are trying to get our attention all the time. Do you notice that bird that's pecking at your window and won't go away? Why is it doing that? That could be your loved one trying to use that bird's consciousness. They don't become the bird, but or the butterfly. Why did it just completely fly around you in a circle? And is this a special holiday for a loved one on the other side? You know, those kind of things happen all the time. Mm-hmm. When you learn to ask for signs from the greater reality, they're there. Now, I'm not gullible. I don't take every little thing as a sign, but mm-hmm. There are jaw-dropping synchronicities that happen when you're watching.
Tell me about how this helps you deal with anxiety.
I don't have very much anxiety these days. It's amazing.
You've found a new peace, haven't you?
I've found the peace is always there. It's within us. I discovered that it's always there. And I used to say that my moods used to be like the waves when we crossed the ocean. Up and down would go my moods. And now... oh, gee, I can have a major tumult happen in my life, any challenge, and it's just, okay, I have tools to handle that. It's an amazing way to live.
How has your husband come around to you?
Incredible. He's my greatest support system, my greatest gift of all in this, because he's been with me every step of the way. Remember, this is a guy who didn't even know what a medium is, and now he's married to one. He could have said, are you kidding? Don't do that. Don't embarrass us. But he's seen me have these experiences of talking to spirits and helping people, and you can't deny the evidence. You can't deny it. And he's had dozens of people come up to him and say, your wife saved my life.
Really?
Yes.
How interesting. What's the most important message that those in spirit want us to know?
Number one, I'm still here. I'll see you when you get over here.
Yeah.
Number two, it's all about love.
Interesting.
And I wish I had said that more often.
Yeah, oh, gosh. Don't we all? On that point, you may have just answered this question. What's the most important aspect of your work?
For me, it's letting go of the perfectionism so that those in spirit can say what they need to say. Mm-hmm. It's having no expectations, because I had a pretty functional family, and the most important aspect is when I put together somebody who had a very dysfunctional relationship with somebody on the other side, and healing takes place. I sometimes, within minutes, am in the deepest, darkest secrets of somebody, because their loved one on the other side is showing me what happened between them when they were here, and they come to say, I'm sorry, my eyes have been open. It's so healing, so powerful, and I just need to be open to anything.
And you said early on that you had no religious training as a child.
That's
or a teen, correct? And is it possible that perhaps religion and spirituality are two different things, or can be?
There's some overlap, but really it's, for me, I could boil it down to religion is being told what to believe. Mm-hmm. Spirituality is finding your own belief system on your own, whether that be through reading or your own discernment by going within. Mm-hmm. And so somebody can tell you what to believe, but there's no fear whatsoever, because you're free to say, that just doesn't feel right in my heart.
Does this experience make you healthier, do you think?
Oh, well, you know, the military made me healthier because I had to exercise all the time.
Of course.
Do you mean physically healthy?
Yeah.
Oh, I have to stay physically healthy, because the energy that's running through me when I do this work is draining. And when I'm drained, what I do is I get outside in the fresh air and go for a walk or a gentle bike ride. So I have remained very healthy because of this.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And how can people get copies of your books?
Well, you can go to loveatthecenter.com, which is my website. My website is also SuzanneGeisman.com, but that's a little harder to spell than loveatthecenter.com.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one more time before we go, where you are appearing this weekend in Prescott.
Unity of Prescott. That's a Unity Church of Prescott. And 7 o'clock tomorrow night is the showing of our movie that's been shown at 8 film festivals. People love it.
Good.
Bring
for
the
you.
Kleenex for that one, too. Mm-hmm. Then my husband and I will both do Q&A after the movie. And then Sunday morning, 9 and 11, both services, I'll be giving the message, followed by 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock, the transformative power of hope. I share so much evidence that even skeptics would have a hard time saying, not quite sure how to explain that one.
I'm glad you said skeptics, because you address questions about the purpose of life, the nature of reality, attuning to higher consciousness, and your work has been recognized as highly credible by afterlife researcher Dr. Gary Schwartz, best-selling author Dr. Wayne Dyer, and I understand you are on the advisory board of the Academy for Spiritual and Consciousness Studies, correct?
It is, if I have the time to add one funny note.
You do.
I gave a reading at the request of an afterlife researcher at the University of Arizona to a gentleman who was so left brain, he couldn't explain how I brought through such accurate details of his deceased wife. So unbeknownst to me, he sent a serial criminal profiler to 3 of my workshops to check me out.
Whoa. You talk know, about some, evidential.
Somebody who says, is she lying? Is she deceitful? And his the report that he gave said, 100% the real deal.
Isn't that something?
And I said, well, we could have saved you a lot of time. I could have told you that. I wouldn't dishonor those on the other side by making anything up. You don't need to make anything up. The things that they tell us are just stunning.
This has been a fascinating interview on so many levels. Suzanne Giesemann, thanks so much for joining us today on Q&A, and to make sure you attend the events she spoke of at the Unity Church in Prescott Friday and Sunday, correct?
That's right. Thanks, DJ.
Very good. Thank you very much, and stay tuned on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world right to your mobile device at KQ&A.com.